Welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. Welcome to those that are here in the room and those joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording of today's service. And so happy to be back in fellowship with you. We ask that you'll please keep our dear Sister Rose and Sister Mariella and Gina and Sheila and the family connected with our dear brother Rodolfo as he is now resting in the grave until Christ comes to resurrect him. So please keep them in your thoughts, keep them in your prayers, keep them in your hugs during this time of grieving. And praise God, it's just a short time before Christ comes and takes us home, where death will be no more. And what a wonderful time of eternity that will be. Please also keep our dear sister Susan in prayer. She is in what is basically a hospice situation, and with hospice, they only come in and care for individuals that really do not have much hope of recovery. So please keep Sister Susan and her family. She has a son and daughter. Keep her in prayers and in your thoughts and in love. Sister Lynn is visiting Sister Susan today. Praise the Lord. And this is on the request of Sister Susan's daughter, who is not religious. So keep the family in prayer, because seeds have been planted, and praise God, they're beginning to sprout. So God knows why this is happening at this particular time, and God has his reasons, which are always the best. So thank you so much for your thoughts and prayers. And before we get into our Bible treasure hunt, who would like to open with prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Lord, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all who are gathered here today. Father Jesus, we pray for all the blessings that you have restored for us. We thank you for the ones that you have given us thus far. We pray for your Holy Spirit to teach us into all truth. Be with every one of us here and all the others that are going through any type of loss and the circumstances. We pray, Father Jesus, for your upliftment. Pray for the speaker, Father Jesus. Strengthen him, I pray. Give him the word. Bless and keep us all throughout this day, I pray. No other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So before we get into our study book, it's time to discover what precious gems you were able to discover from our Bible treasure hunt. And the monthly question for this time was, where in the Old Testament do we find examples of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So what treasures of examples were you able to discover in the Old Testament? Who would like to share first?
I'll go up. If I can, I'll start off. I have a few, but I'll start off with first Psalms 37. In Psalms 37, I'm going to start from verse 4. I'm going to go down to 7. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7 reads, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth, and I think I cut it off. And the spirit of prophecy also says, we need to follow more closely God's plans of life to do our best in the work that lies nearest, to commit our ways to God and to watch for the indications of his providence. These are rules that ensure safe guidance in the choice of an occupation. So that was one of them that I found. And I have more, but I'll bubble down so that others can participate as well as people.
Amen. Excellent treasure here. So put the Lord first, and then he will take care of the rest. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. And this may take patience, so praise God. That's a precious, shining gem of truth there, dear sister. Anyone else would like to share?
I was looking at Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 to 14. Let me see if you bring that up. I'll read it, or I'll find it here. Yeah, 29. Okay. Yes, it says, it reads here, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And I think that's where I had ended it right there.
So thank you. So when you put God first, then he'll undo all the punishment for not putting him first. So that's really good, dear brother. Excellent treasure. Any others would like to share?
I also call up on Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. And chapter 5 verse 5 begins, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with thy first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Amen. Amen. Now, it's interesting here. This verse brings up other beautiful treasure, and it's talking about first fruits. Now, first fruits, we're dealing with fruit on the trees, fruit on the vine, fruit that came from vegetables, in other words, under the ground. It dealt with firstborn of animals, the first wool that was harvested. It also dealt with the firstborn men in families or men child. And that first fruits, the firstborn, was a symbol of putting God first, and then he would bless the rest of the harvest. So the rest of the fruit on the tree, the rest of the wool that would be harvested off of the sheep, the rest of the garden vegetables or the rest of the grapes and so on. So in putting God first in the husbandry of what you were able to grow with his blessing, God would then bless the rest of what was pertaining to that particular type of fruit or harvest. So if you did that, then your barns would be filled with plenty of the harvest material, and your presses would burst out with new wine or new oil if it was from olives, etc. So in putting God first and foremost in everything, he would then be able to bless you in what remains. So, wonderful treasure there, dear sister. And, Proverbs 8, verse 17. Let me get there.
One chapter verses as I picked is Exodus 19:5-6, and it reads, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation."
Amen. So yeah, putting God first, and then God would be able to bless all the remaining. So all of Israel would be a kingdom of priests and kings to God. So amen. And dear sister, would you like to reveal the treasure you were able to discover there in Proverbs chapter 8?
Proverbs chapter 8, verses 17-21. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures.
Amen. And that's a precious promise. Those that seek me early shall find me. So if you put God first, then that relationship will be built strong between you and him. But amen. Any other treasure able to find, Irwin? Any examples of this principle?
If I may contribute, I don't have a singular verse, but I actually thought hard about the ethos of the Bible Hunt treasure question, which is, what is the example of putting first the kingdom of God? And I love things all poetic and circular, and so I wanted to contribute the story of Abraham from the beginning, him leaving Ur, seeking first the kingdom of God, and again giving up Isaac, also choosing the kingdom of God, and the fact that Isaac was supposedly the promise and the reward, and giving it back to the Lord, I think is a perfect way to begin and to think about how at the beginning we're always supposed to seek first. But I wanted to contribute that. I didn't have a singular verse, but rather that story.
Yeah, amen. And that's excellent, because that's the example of the principle of putting God first and God would take care of everything else secondary. That's the example of that principle being found in the Old Testament. So great treasure, dear sister. Wonderful gem. And Deuteronomy 30, verse 8. Let me get there.
Another group of verses I found for the question is Psalm 22:26-28. And it reads, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations.
Amen. No, thank you, Josh. And dear brother, you want to reveal the treasure you discovered there in Deuteronomy?
Yes, dear brother. I was reading this and it came to me, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I commanded thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we can see the principle brought out in the Old Testament, which means that it wasn't a new truth that Christ was bringing out in the New Testament. He was just repeating the principle of truth that was found written in the Old Testament. So when we look at the teachings that Christ was bringing out in the New Testament, we find these teachings embedded in the Old Testament. Go ahead, dear sister, and share the gems that you found there in Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Sure. And this came from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Amen. Amen. So we see these principles embedded in the teachings of the Old Testament. And our dear sister Dee brought out examples of these teachings being implemented or manifested there with Abraham. Were you able to also, anyone, were you able to also find other examples of individuals following the principle of putting God first? If you found other examples, please share them.
I have something to share. It's the story of King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. He became king at age 35 after the death of his father, King Asa. And he followed God's commands and removed pagan idols, high places, and the worship of Asherah, the goddess of fertility. And this is, I'd summarize it like worship over weapons. And he has famous like prayer. Famous prayer saying that we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And he called the whole nation. It was a nationwide fasting and prayer when the alliance of Moab and Ammon were about to descend on Judah. And he called for fasting and prayer, and he put the choir in front of the army. And the Lord fought for them. And true enough that the battle is not ours but God's. The Lord gave them, because of this, that he put God first, that victory and the spoils were added. So he sought the kingdom first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you.
Amen. That's a beautiful gem. And you can go with all the kings of Israel that followed what was right, because they were putting God first in their kingdom, versus the other kings that did that which was evil. They put themselves and their own desires ahead of the Lord. So, tremendous gem of truth there, dear sister. Yeah, and Daniel, yes, more than once. It was three times that the scriptures record that Daniel put God first. One with the with diet. He wasn't going to partake of the king's table or the meat and the wine. So he put God first in diet. Next was he gave God the glory when he was interpreting the king's dream. He put God first when Well, I'm actually taking away the gem that our dear sister discovered. So please go ahead and share what you discovered there with Daniel.
It's okay, Rob. You could continue by that, guys.
If I could piggyback on what our sister Dee had said about Abraham, in particular, Genesis 15, it had to do with when Abraham, verse 2, and Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be that heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." The whole chapter really is a testament of putting God first and the faith that we should have. And by the example, as you know, that Abraham is the father of faith. And I think we could draw so many examples from him, but this one particularly is the one that I found. And the whole thing is really beautiful.
Amen. Amen. And again, sorry, dear sister Cece. The other one was Daniel going ahead and praying to God, even though it would break the law of the kingdom. So he put God first, even in his prayers, and God took care of the consequences. I mean, he still had to go through the consequences, but God didn't allow the fulfillment of the individuals that brought about those consequences, but God delivered him. Yeah, a comment in the room says, an example featuring a woman, Hannah, giving Samuel back to God. That's right. She put God first, even though every bit of love and bonds that she had with Samuel was crying out against her giving him up to God. But she followed God. Yeah, Esther, that's right. She put God first. In the aspect of protecting his people, put God first and let him deal with the consequences. Amen. And Joseph, yes. And King Solomon, yes. King Josiah, yes. So, yes. And Ruth putting God first in following Naomi back home, and chose God. That's right. Hezekiah. So we see there's many, many examples in the Old Testament of putting God first, and God then handles everything that comes afterwards. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your own, so it's not a selfish seeking, right? And then all these other things, what shall we eat, what shall we wear, where shall we go, where's our money coming from, all these other things are going to be taken care of. Were you able to find any other precious gems from the examples in the Old Testament, dear one?
I found something else in Deuteronomy chapter, I think, 8. Yeah, it cited verse 3, but I went back to verse 1, 2, and 3.
Where was the book again, dear sister, in the chapter?
Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, 2, and 3 reads, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know that was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live."
Amen. So putting the Lord ahead of what food we're going to eat or where it's going to come from. And that's a hard one, because when you're hungry, it's very hard to focus on anything except finding food to satisfy your hunger. But God is leading thee to put him ahead of our necessities, which is food and drink and warmth and so on, to put him ahead of everything else connected with our survival. And if we do that, we have example upon example upon example of God providing for every other necessity after we've put him first. And then we have another one, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 13. Go ahead, dear brother.
Yes, I would just stick with Deuteronomy, what her dear sister was at. And this is from 4 to 13. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name." Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you fear or honor, respect the Lord and serve him, then you're putting him ahead of your own desires. You're serving him instead of serving self. And if God sees that you're putting him first and self secondary, then he will bless you and provide for you what you need, not what you want, but what you need. The children of Israel wanted food. God provided for them manna. It was a miracle. It was miraculous. But not all of them wanted manna. They wanted meat. They wanted leeks. They wanted garlic. But God provided for them what they needed, not what they wanted. And it's the same with us. God sees exactly what we need, even though we may not see it. And he promises to provide for us our needs. So then we need to take our wants and bring them into harmony with what God gives us, providing for our needs, which means we have to curtail our wants and make them line up with our needs. There's a very big difference there. Any other gems that were discovered from examples, please feel free.
I wanted to talk about the widow who fed Elijah, and I believe honoring God's prophet over your own hunger and listening to the commandment of, I believe Elijah told her to make the cake first and then to provide for her and her son, and having the faith to follow and to do so wholeheartedly. Yeah, that was my next example.
Yeah, that's a wonderful gem of truth, because it was a tremendous act of faith. This widow only had enough food, enough flour and oil to bake one loaf of bread. And she was going to bake it for her and her son. And then God's servant came to her and said, bake a little one for me first. So she basically had to bake two smaller cakes, not one loaf, but two smaller loaves, and give the first one to God's servant, giving it to God. When she did that, God promised to provide for the rest of her needs throughout the remaining famine. And that was another year plus. So it was an act of faith to put God first. But when she did, God provided all of her needs, not once. He didn't promise to give her cookies or pastries or anything other than her needs. And he didn't give her surplus. He gave her just what was needed for each day. Not enough for tomorrow, right? Tomorrow hadn't come yet. God only provided for the present day. When tomorrow came, he provided for that day as well. but she had God's promise that he would provide for the future. It was just one day at a time. That kept her dependent upon God each day. That kept her and her son dependent upon God through faith. So here is a demonstration, an example, a really good one, a very giant, shining gem here, that if we put God first, he will provide for all our daily needs until the end. Great treasure, dear sister. Any other examples that you were able to discover, dear ones, please feel free.
I'd like to share more on what Joshi actually shared. It's about King Hezekiah and the unstoppable Assyrian army led by King Sennacherib. He sent Hezekiah a threatening letter. And also the field commander publicly mocked Hezekiah and blasphemed God, telling the people that there's no God that has ever saved a nation from Assyria. And the first thing that Hezekiah did was to go straight to the temple and spread the letter before the Lord and pray that all the kingdoms of the earth that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God. And so the response of the Lord was to send the angel, and it put the 185,000 soldiers to death without a single Israelite drawing a sword. Like, you know, praise God for that. Sennacherib is forced to break camp and retreat to Nineveh in total humiliation, and later on, he was assassinated by his own sons, and Jerusalem was completely delivered and spared from the famine that the war would have brought on. So praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. Excellent, excellent point, dear sister. Another wonderful gem of truth. Any other discoveries, dear ones? Any other treasures that are examples of this principle being acted out? Yeah, amen. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's right. Putting God ahead of your fears. Putting God ahead in wisdom. That's right. Amen. Any other examples, dear ones?
Hi. A few minutes ago, I found another one. It's Psalm 145:10-12. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom.
Yeah. Thank you, dear brother. Another example is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They put God first and refused to bow to the golden image. And God took care of all that happened afterwards. They were preserved even though their enemies wanted them burned. So they put God first and he then worked for their deliverance. Psalms 84, let me get there. Go ahead, dear sister, share the treasure you found.
I'll start where it says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in the house, in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pots. They go from strength to strength, even one of them. In Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength. They go from strength to strength, even one of them. In Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O Lord, behold, I go. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon thy face of thine anointed. For a day in the courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell. Sorry, hold on, see how to get out of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee."
Amen. Or, "Blessed is the man that puts thee first in trust." Amen. Any other examples, dear ones, that you can find in the Old Testament? Please go right ahead.
I think Job is a classic example, and it's about, like, you know, 10 times the reward. That's what actually, like, came to my mind when you first brought out the question. I said, "Job, he held on past to the Lord. Though you slay me," that's what he said. And so everything was added.
Yeah, Job really went through the testing. And even though Job didn't understand the reasons why, he still was committing his entire case to God. So, amen. Amen. And that has valuable instructions for each one of us. Even though we may not understand why certain things are happening, when they're happening, or why they're happening, we can still trust our case to God, instead of taking the case into our own hands and trying to bring about deliverance. We put it into God's hands, putting him first, and then allowing God to solve the issue. So yeah, Elijah and Elisha, you know, that was an act of faith on Elisha, putting God first and leaving his home, leaving his father and parents, leaving the occupation that he was accustomed to in order for the opportunity of serving God as a servant of God's minister, Elijah. So not becoming a messenger of God yet, but a servant of Elijah. Quite a difference. Nehemiah, that's right, committing his case to God through prayer and then waiting for God to answer the prayer by impressing upon the king to inquire into why Nehemiah was a bit depressed. That's right, yeah. And Rahab trusting in God over her own life by hiding the spies. That she wasn't an Israelite, so that was quite an act of faith. Any others, dear ones?
I have a quote from Psalm 27, verses 8 to 9, concerning David. And it says, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Which embodies how David modeled putting God's presence above his wealth, his safety, and his kingship, and turning to God in prayer first during crises rather than as a last resort, even during the times where he himself faltered.
Amen. Amen. Precious gem, dear brother. Now I'm gonna ask for examples on the other side where God wanted us or wanted individuals to put him and his cause first, but instead they put themselves and their own cause first. And what happened? Can you think of some examples in the Old Testament of that very thing occurring? Yeah, King Saul. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Any other examples of instead of putting God first, they put themselves first and the consequences? Please go right ahead. Yeah, Cain. That's right. Yeah. Yes, Samson, very clear example. God wanted him to marry individuals of his own tribe, and Samson wanted to marry individuals of his own choosing. And we see the results of all of that. God allowed it and took Samson's rebellion, if you will, and used it to gain a victory over the Philistines, those of Gath. But Samson put his own interests first instead of God, and we know the history of that. Any other examples, dear ones? Yeah, Absalom. Yeah, you see Adam and Eve. Yeah, that's a really good one. So we see that there's examples of individuals putting God first, and then God took care of all of their needs afterwards, even delivering them. And we see that there's examples of individuals putting themselves ahead of God, and then all the disasters that occurred afterwards. Yeah, King Manasseh, yeah. Ahab, you're right. So when Christ presented these principles in the New Testament, he wasn't bringing forth truth that no one ever had a chance to learn before. He was reiterating truth that was discovered in the Old Testament, but the people didn't recognize or perhaps had forgotten. So Christ was taking the truth that had been buried by the rubbish of custom and tradition of the elders and exalting it to the people. And that's what we're to do today. We're to take the truth that may be buried under the rubbish of custom and tradition of the church elders today and exalt it, putting God first, bringing forth the principles of the kingdom of righteousness so that the people then have a choice to put God first in their beliefs, to put him first in their lives, to put him first in everything, or to continue with the custom and tradition of putting yourself ahead of the Lord and his kingdom. Now, when I first asked this question, there may have been individuals that say, "Woo, that is a hard question. Where am I going to find examples?" And now, it's amazing how many examples there are of this very principle discovered in the Old Testament. Yeah. That would be nice that wherever you step, you find a precious gem, you know, like a minefield. That would be wonderful. But it shows that the truth is there. And the Spirit wants to reveal these precious gems that are there. You just have to do some digging. You have to take the time to investigate. And, you know, kind of polish off or dust off these precious gems that haven't been noticed before. But they're there. Any other thoughts or comments, Jordan? Any other precious treasures discovered? Please feel free. One comes to mind regarding the opposite, putting self first instead of God. And let me share my screen here. This is from Haggai, chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. And God wanted the Israelites that he had separated from Babylon to focus on rebuilding his temple. But they ended up focusing on building their own houses while God's temple remained unbuilt. So they started putting God first, but then they started putting themselves first and God second. And this is what happened here. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house or the temple of God lies waste? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much." So in other words, they threw a lot of seed out in the field and bring in little. "Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house or the temple, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. So if we focus on our own dwellings, our own pleasure, our own facilities, to the neglect of building up the temple of the Lord. We're talking about a spiritual temple here, not a literal temple, right? If we neglect to build up our body temple into a place where God delights to dwell in, and we focus on eating what we want to eat or drinking what we want to drink or wearing what we want to wear, if we don't put God first in our body temple, but we put ourselves first, then God cannot bless us. We're spinning our wheels and getting nowhere. Just like the children of Israel, we're spinning their wheels, putting all the effort into sow 10,000 seeds in a particular area, and only 10 of the seeds sprouted. Or what harvest they did bring back was eaten by vermin and lost. Or what money they did earn was brought back home and it just was squandered here and there. You know, this appliance broke down and needs to be repaired. Our car broke down and needs to be repaired. We got the tree fell on the house and we need to repair the roof and the siding and all of that. Without God's blessing, what we have is lost. So if we don't put God first in everything, our body temple, building up his spiritual temple, then we're going to lose everything. It's going to be a waste of time. Because we're not going to get the heavenly dew of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to produce fruit to the glory of God. So we need to put God first in our families, in our finances, in our plans, in our work, in our necessities. And if we do that, then God will take pleasure in us and he will be glorified in us. That's a promise, dear ones. And we've seen example of after example of how God does take care of those who put him first. And God is glorified. Any other thoughts or comments or treasures that you're able to discover, dear ones? Please feel free. Yeah, there's another negative example. Jeroboam was given the kingship because he was honoring God instead of following the the wrong commandments that were coming from Solomon. But as soon as he became king of the 10 northern tribes, he then began to plan for himself. And one of those plans was to set up two rival sanctuaries, and to put idols in them so that his people would not have to go to Jerusalem, which was part of the rival kingdom. So he then put himself ahead of God, and look at all the problems that occurred because of that. So, amen. Yeah, really bad.
Makes you wonder why God had anointed him.
Yeah, it does, but there's that freedom of choice issue. Why did God create Lucifer, even though he knew Lucifer eventually was going to bring sin into the world? It was the freedom of choice. If God would not have created Lucifer because he foresaw the future, then God was fighting going contrary to the very principle of freedom of choice.
And who would have known it?
You're right. Who would have known it? God would have. And God cannot sin. He cannot go against his own character. It's impossible. So God had to allow Lucifer to have that freedom of choice, knowing that Lucifer would bring sin into the world. So then Lucifer has no excuse, and his punishment is just. The same with Jeroboam. Jeroboam had every advantage for continuing to put God first, for continuing to make the right choice. But because Jeroboam, having all those advantages, chose to make the wrong choice and to stick with it, then Jeroboam chose death for himself. God didn't choose it. So the freedom of choice is the reason why God allows individuals like Hitler, like others, to be born. And he gives them advantages for developing a right character, making the right decisions that would bring for them salvation. But he doesn't prevent them from choosing the wrong choice that leads to their destruction. And God's ways are not our ways. And his ways are always the wisest and the best. Any other thoughts or comments, questions, insights, testimonies, anything else you'd like to share on this very important topic?
I really appreciate that this Bible treasure hunt highlighted the consistency of God, and how the words in the question are based on the Sermon on the Mount and the New Testament, but the earliest example goes all the way to the beginning. And the underlying conclusion of that God is everlasting and consistent and we are always to seek him first pays a lot to what I think people underestimate sometimes how important that consistency is, that his character doesn't change, and because of that, it is perfect.
Well, amen. Amen. Yeah, and you're right. It goes all the way back to the beginning. There in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, I believe it is, where Lucifer was created perfect. And his responsibility was the greatest responsibility of any angel at the time, to be the covering cherub of the Most High. So Lucifer had every advantage for developing a character after God's character and making the right choice. And yet he chose to go just the opposite. So no one can be blamed for sin but Lucifer himself. God cannot be blamed for sin. God cannot be blamed for creating individuals with the freedom to choose. The individuals themselves that choose wrong or that choose right are themselves responsible for the outcome, for the rewards, whether good or bad. And that's the only way to have true love returned, is by that freedom of choice. It's the only way to get true love returned. So God created all the worlds with the ability to truly manifest love for God in return. God created them in love, and the only way to get true love in return was to give them the freedom to choose. And it's true love that is the only safety of the universe. Without true love, there is no safety. So it's quite amazing. And praise God that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. And love there, God is love. Love there is agape love. Agape is self-sacrificing love. That is God. Self-sacrificing love. And some may ask, well, how does the Father reveal sacrifice? Yeah, okay, so he gave his son up, but that's Christ's sacrifice. How did the Father give himself? How did the Father sacrifice himself in the plan of salvation? Paul brings out that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So when Christ was crucified, God was in Christ being crucified with him. That is true love. So the Father not only gave up his son to die, the Father was in Jesus being crucified. So the Father didn't die when the humanity of Christ died, but the Father suffered along with Christ on the cross, just so the Father could have the joy as well in seeing the redeemed brought to salvation. So the Father's love is manifested in sacrifice. God the Son's love is also manifested in sacrifice. Is God the Holy Spirit's love also manifest in sacrifice? And what is that sacrifice? The answer is yes. What is that sacrifice? Any ideas?
you can really say in a way where and he had to enlighten the very people that had placed his the character of the Father and also the righteousness of the second person of the Godhead, and still turn around and gave them a way of escape by impressing their heart and bringing them to salvation.
Yeah, amen. Well, let's make this the next Bible treasure hunt question. What is the sacrifice of love of the Holy Ghost? Giving you a whole month to search this out. Because it's a wonderful understanding. And it may take a little bit to discover it. But what a precious gem, jewels, you'll discover. That's right. The selflessness, the sacrifice of the Holy Spirit from love. What is that sacrifice? So that'd be our next Bible treasure hunt question. You have a whole month to search into this wondrous aspect of the divine character manifested by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you're right. It may be mind-blowing. Any other thoughts, dear ones? Please feel free. A comment in the room says, Glorianne said she needs a headlamp and the finest shovel for that. But it will be a wonderful search, a wonderful digging. The answer is there. And praise God for his word. Remember, the Spirit is the author of the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the one that inspired all the prophets, all the individuals to write down the word of truth. So the answer is discovered in the scriptures. So looking forward to the treasure house findings that you will have discovered. Got a whole month. So let's see, that will be the 3rd of October is when we'll go over the findings of treasure that have been discovered. Any other thoughts or comments on our current Bible treasure hunt question of the principle of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything else in the Old Testament? And please go right ahead. Praise God for his word of truth. There's still more to discover, dear ones. We didn't exhaust it. There's still more examples there, but praise God for what we were able to find. And dear ones, who would like to offer closing prayer?
Father, thank you so much for the words of wisdom that were shared today in this Bible treasure study. I pray that as we meditate on the examples of those who always sought your kingdom first, that we align ourselves with those principles and characters, that we also will be known to always seek you first and not to worry about anything and to trust you wholeheartedly to take care of us. I pray that as we continue to search for the endless treasure hidden in your words, that we also see the joy and the love that is wrapped in how you take care of us. And as we share here as a church family, it is a joy and a privilege to also sink in and to think so deeply of your love for us amongst each other. I pray that as we wrap up this particular part of the study, that we always walk away knowing to always seek you first. And I pray that for everyone here, through Jesus our Savior. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Let us take a 12-minute break and then return back here at 12:45 Pacific or 3:45 Eastern for our main church service. So we'll see you then, dear ones.